Grace to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. La gracia y paz de Dios, nuestro Padre, y Señor Jesucristo a todos ustedes. On All Souls Night, tens of thousands of people gathered in Cleveland. Millions watched on television or on their computers. Others listened intently on the radio around the planet. At that moment, our nation was deeply divided. Some were rooting for the Cubs, others for the Indians. Passions were over the top, high. The stakes felt astronomical. Don't let anyone tell you that baseball doesn't matter. In the end, the Cubs prevailed. What is remarkable was the grace given by winning and losing fans. While they differed in their allegiance, everyone saluted the play, the sportsmanship, and the outcome. At the end, everyone said, "What a great game! I love baseball." On this past Tuesday, no such equivalent sentiments were offered. As I said earlier, our divisions were shown to be deep and painful. Nobody said at that point, "I love the game of politics." Try as we might, this convention and the coming year of our shared ministry will occur against the backdrop of that political campaign, its ugliness, and the emotions that it engendered and brought to the surface. But somehow, because of my Chicago connections, I can't separate this from my baseball life. I have to just kind of bring the spirit of Martin Luther and Harry Carey to this moment. And I have to simply say this. I'm a Cubs fan. And as I said when I was being vetted about in the walkabouts for the Episcopal election 12 years ago, I am thus a man of faith. Now, I'm not going to keep this on for the whole address, but it isn't going to replace the mitre tomorrow. Tempting as it might, I thought about putting the Cubs medallion on a mitre, see how that looks, but what was that? That's right. You know, it's okay. Call and response is all right, even in an Episcopal dress. So. But seriously, I am a man of faith. I have faith in God. I have faith in you. And we are a people of faith. That's our identity. We're people of faith. We believe in Jesus. And as his followers, we come together to discern God's will for us as a people of faith this day and in this place. Because you see, this is our time. This is our mission field, this thing that we call the Diocese of San Diego. God has placed us here. And we bring our faith into the real world, not just filled with political tensions while they're there to be sure, but powerful emotions rooted in real concerns. Many of us are fearful and anxious and indeed angry at times. 9/11 seems a long way away, but it's here as if it were yesterday. ISIS, the Great Recession, global warming, mass shootings that we hear occurring, police shootings, police as victims, that all feeds our fears. All are real. We see them, We feel them. We can all but taste them. We're overwhelmed by images and information, all but unable to assimilate and reasonably process what we see and what we hear. We're all plugged in and connected by multiple devices, but not necessarily with each other. The data phone has become the symbol of our age. It is, to be sure, a great tool, but it's also a symptom of a disease. Fear and anxiety, propelled by information overload, leading actually not to connection, but disconnection. The other reality is that we gather as a church, and we know that we have fewer members and seemingly fewer resources. I represent this remark, but we're all growing grayer and older. And as clergy, those of us who are clergy, we were taught in our education to manage and lead an established church. And as lay leaders, you have been fed by that model of church. Our symbol and sign of that church continues to be the Episcopal Church welcomes you. Come. Come to us. Our doors are open. And the reality is that the people aren't coming. We spend our energies trying to get better at being that church, the church that we know. And what that fundamentally looks like is trying to get more people to come into the church and give more. And so we do a new greeter program, a novel approach to stewardship. We monkey with the liturgy. And, of course, the great cure of all our ills, more contemporary music. Our metrics, how we measure our being successful, are higher Sunday attendance and more dollars in the budget. Because that's not what's been happening, we find ourselves looking, I'll speak confessionally, myself looking in the mirror and feeling like I failed. Our clergy thinking they are not doing enough. And our lay leaders feeling like they've let the church down. That's one of the false assumptions. And one of the things that is just not true. It's not our fault. It is a disconnect between the church we have come to know and to love that sustained and formed us, but it's not quite the right church for the world that we inhabit today. As bishop, my calling is to be your chief pastor, to act, if you will, as spiritual director of the community. I'm supposed to gently guide ourselves, this community, as God has given me the ability to do, and holy living, so that we'll be a part of God's work of reconciliation and restoration. And the real deal is, every bishop, self included, holds that call in community, with community. I've prayed about this. I've studied, listened, and observed. It goes something like this, that from time to time, the church is called to make profound changes because the mission field, that world out there, is calling us to do so, calling us to be significantly altered. Once upon a time, geopolitical change, discovery in a new world, And innovations such as the printing press brought forth this thing we call the Great Reformation. And on this continent, an American Revolution brought forth a very new thing out of what was ancient and traditional. You might have heard about it. It's called the Episcopal Church. See, we've been here before. We have been called as the people of God to profoundly and significantly change. We know that history does repeat itself. We have in our DNA the adaptive and creative gene to reimagine ourselves in this church. It is my sense that the path begins with us returning to the fundamentals. And here I have to return slightly to baseball. Like any baseball team, focusing on hitting and pitching and fielding to get better, we too must focus on the core things. At the beginning, at the very beginning of the Jesus movement, Jesus called his followers to be adaptive and creative. I'm sure you remember the moment. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Jesus begins with a terse assessment of the mission field. Lots of opportunity, too few laborers. And then he offers steely-eyed reality. You're going out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Match your resources to the work. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Be focused. Greet no one on the road. I'll say it again. We're a people of faith. We're being sent. We bear the good news that God loves the world, that God's love in us can do more than we can ask for or imagine. We share in and show forth the transformative new life found in God's love of us and our love of God and neighbor. That is a message that can change us. That is a message that can change a broken and sin-sick world. At the Eucharistic table tomorrow, we'll once again lean into that reality that we are sent again into the world to share that reality, that our message is this: the world can be changed by the love of God. You don't need to be afraid. God is here. Don't worry. Don't be angry. God will provide. Love is stronger than hate. The cross is the eternal symbol of that truth. Love heals and brings joy, even though it happens sometimes through pain and even death. This is the message of salvation. And you better believe, whether it's an election year or not, Jesus approves this message. We got that healing word, brothers and sisters. We are the laborers, like those who are a hitter in a slump. It might just be time to check our swing, to return to the fundamentals. And when a batter does that work, it feels odd and counterproductive at first. And I know there are a few golfers out here. The golf swing is the same thing. It feels like it's a different body you're inhabiting. And when that happens, sometimes the batting averages initially fall. Our change in the church is such a kind of change. It is one that is a disorienting reorientation. To be this church, the church of this mission field, we need to be in this time and this place, that changing community. We need to move from being that receiving church to something else. That's been our swing, you see. The Episcopal Church welcomes you. Come. And the adjustment, that profound adjustment, is to go back to the fundamental, to the beginning, to be the apostolic church, which means to be the sending church. We give up our old stance. We let go of it and we risk a new way of being and doing. And to be that kind of church, it's going to start with me and with you. It's going to start with your bishop, your clergy, all of us learning new skills. And then we'll need to call new leaders with new gifts. Leadership training and the School for Ministry are so important for that task. The laborers are few. And intertwined with this is how we allocate our resources. Over the past few years, as those of you who are old-timers at convention will no doubt remember, we've been slowly but surely shifting investments in our diocesan budget to focus on leadership development, on teaching, and on consultation work within the community. Staff time is more and more devoted in the field. Charlotte Pressler, who led our children, our youth, and the worship, and is with them now, is one example of that kind of devotion of time and energy. Somebody whose role it is to facilitate youth leadership development and connectivity throughout our diocese. Now, with that in hand, every congregation can be supporting and nurturing youth, not just the most resourced. Another example, our newly appointed Archdeacon, Bob Nelson, is similarly building up the ministry of deacons, how we are at the cutting edge of ministry, of being the sending church, whether we're sending ourselves into prisons or into homeless communities, wherever we're called to go. Bob and the deacons are doing that work. And I love the way Bob puts it, that the deacon's job is to get your butts out of the pews and into the world in ministry. And so the real question is, can we move from these incremental beginning steps that we've been working on to significant reimagining? Can we? To do this, we're going to have to leave behind one way and take another. It's going to be painful at times, filled with uncertainty, and I would even say grief. What it looks like in today's Episcopal Church is to deciding to give up some things so that we can do other things. And we step down this path in a significant way this past year when we sold St. Anne's in Oceanside. Hard, painful, a time of grief. But because of that decision, we're able to reallocate resources and ministry in new ways. As you have probably already read in your packet, our finance committee and subsequently executive council discerned what I would describe as a win-win action after doing that sale. With the $2.6 million in sales proceeds in hand, we were essentially able to eliminate our external debt with that sale and pay off bank loans for St. Thomas Temecula and St. Timothy's Rancho Penasquitos. And here's where the win-win part comes. Both congregations will now make loan payments at a lower rate to the diocese, creating a flow of mission funds of around $190,000. And another way, what this looks like, is a small community of St. Anthony's in Desert Hot Springs imagining a remarkably different future by giving up their costly and remote building. Their hope, their dream right now, is to create in the center of that desert community an innovative coffee house ministry, a place of worship, connection, conversations about things that deeply matter under the shadow of the cross. At this time last year, we also didn't imagine what is becoming a reality in North Park, a new ministry built on the foundation of St. Luke's, with new leadership, with Colin and Laurel Mathewson standing in the place that others have stood before them, building what they have done. We've been blessed with an infusion of new funds from a group of outside donors, and we are shaking things up and imagining a new way of doing urban ministry and also planting new cell churches in that changing neighborhood. Exciting stuff. That's what happens when you ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out into the harvest. Another major initiative is to continue to build up our Hispanic ministry. It's not rocket science to say in Southern California, this should be central to our life. The other major, and in doing this, what we have set out to do is to build on what is already here, to build up the ministry that has already begun. You heard just a few minutes ago about our upcoming resolution to consider a companion relationship with the Diocese of Western Mexico. And in September, Christina Borges and Ram Ituarte and I went down to that diocese and had what for me was almost a life-changing experience. We knew already our friends on the north end of the diocese, Father Castillas, Father Candelario, but we went deeper into the diocese, came to know and to fall in love with more people. We learned of their new mission planting, especially in the indigenous community of La Nueva Palma, a community of people who have, for really centuries, been marginalized. And there, that diocese has planted a new church amongst those people, helping them to receive not only spiritual bread, but indeed their daily bread. Our brothers and sisters in the Diocese of Western Mexico can be a key part of us becoming a more vibrant Hispanic diocese. They can teach us how to do house church building, how to do multicultural ministry, how to partner not only with them, but with others in our community, how to be the sending church. Our hope this year was to also bring on an Hispanic missioner. That was something that last year's convention placed in our budget and put before us. It has been harder to find the right person to fill that role than we anticipated. We have tried hard. A committee has worked on that. We have interviewed people. We have just not found the right match. And to use the wisdom of Jesus, we're going to take a different shot at this. We're going to cast our nets on the other side of the boat. It's worth noting that we've already had a vibrant multicultural ministry in our church and in our diocese. It's called Crecio. It is already building leaders and connections across cultures and languages. It's right here now. And that's a foundation for us that we can easily miss. So, moving forward, I'm wondering about looking at some of the leaders that are already in place in our diocese, utilizing a laborer already in the mission field in Latino ministry to serve at least for a season as a key leader in an interim period. Perhaps there's somebody in the community right now hearing me say this, thinking, I think I'm going to have a conversation with Jim Mathis at dinner tonight. You know, the spirit is over there someplace, but yeah. We're very close to the San Andreas Fault, by the way, too. Maybe that was related. So, which is a shout out for disaster preparedness resolution there. Now, but seriously, folks, in this area, good growth is happening. I think we're making some strides. It doesn't necessarily look like what we think it will look at any given moment, but we need to keep at that. In reality, though, all these things that we've done so far are incremental, and they're really quite modest changes. And any change in the diocesan budget, which you'll hear about in just a few minutes, are going to be, as a community, modest and incremental. You'll see in your budget numbers that we are funding through reserves of approximately $250,000 to do what we're calling shift work. And I'm not 100% sure that's the best label to give it, but it works this way. Shifting our mission. Shifting from being the church that's the receiving church to being the sending church. What it will do is it will staff up for a short period of time the work to provide all of us resources to realign ourselves, to move into a different way of being church, to work with you intensively in certain places to do that work. Our ability to start this whole project in North Park with St. Luke's is made possible because of the shift work we've already begun. That is the kind of work that this part of our budget will help us to continue to do. In a recent finance committee meeting, we were grappling with the question of how do we effectively measure this work. And I was asked about that, and I honestly did not have a firm answer. And I think the reason for this is this, that the needed change in how we measure it will be actually found amongst you. It'll be through the work and ministry of all of our congregations. Our call in this budget is to provide the support that's needed to make that happen. Our diocesan budget and the funds we're allocating that we need to bear in mind is only a fraction of the expenses and the income of the diocese as a whole. The vast wealth of the diocese is received and expended through your budgets. If we are going to change into a different kind of church, our priorities and how and where we spend money in your budgets is going to have to change. That's where transformation will come about, is how we adapt at the congregational level. I hasten to add that all of this, we're building on profound strengths and gifts. You are an amazing collection of saints in this diocese. Over the last 12 years, I have really come to see that and have been astonished by your gifts, your perseverance, your resilience. We do have a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. God is working through us. I see that on my visitations with you. I come away thankful. I see these amazing things from amazing people. There's grace and goodness and veritable bright spots. I saw a few weeks ago an invigorated Hispanic service in Yuma. I saw it in Fallbrook. English is a second language program that is connecting with a community college to touch people's lives. We see it today at this convention and the collaborative youth work that's going on. We see it more specifically in Escondido and San Marcos, where those two congregations are working together around youth. And speaking of youth, we see it when the youth of St. Andrew's and Encinitas are undaunted, even when the building that they use for their ministry burns. There are bright spots out there. There is good news. There are great things happening. And that's what we're building upon, these bright spots. They're the light of Christ in our diocese. Some of y'all might want to just break out and start singing "This Little Light of Mine." I'm going to let it shine. See, we can do this. We can adapt. We can change. The key to this moment, the key to our momentum, at the beginning at least, will come through more connectivity and more working together. Again, look at what Jesus did when he sent his disciples out. He didn't send them out alone. He sent them out as companions, not as lone rangers. Right now we have 44 congregations. Most of them have their designated clergy person, full or part-time. We have 44 governing bodies, vestries, our bishop's committee. We have 44 accounting functions, treasurers, bank accounts, etc., etc., etc. What if we stopped doing it that way? What if we began to work in a deep way with each other and eliminated these redundancies? What if we freed up our most precious resource, you, our human capital, so that we could do more in the world, more of God's mission in the world? There would be significant financial gain, to be sure. Financial resources that could be used for other things. Creativity and innovation would spring loose in that moment. I, for one, find that exciting. What is keeping us from going down that path? Just one thing. Fear. Fear. We're worried about what we'll have to give up. Our power. Our authority. We're worried that we'll fail. Truth be told, we will from time to time. We'll fail quickly. We'll fail fast and try something different. But we have to vanquish that fear and see what will happen when we do things differently together. And we can then grieve what we've lost in doing this. That's important to do. But we can honor what God is doing in that moment of creativity and new life. So that, I think, is the work ahead. Try as we might, we've created a diocesan budget to spur this on. And that'll be a tool in our toolbox. But the most important ingredient is you. It's all of us together, working together. I pray that we'll empower this work in our budget resolution, and then we'll more profoundly empower it in how we connect and risk together to be not the receiving church, the sending church, to do God's mission where God's tender and hurting people are, surely here with us, yes, but most easily found out in the world. It's a task that requires our imagination. And so as I move through these days, I recognize in myself, and I think all of us, a wish for a degree of greater clarity. I wish I were a good enough artist or writer to paint or describe and deliver what this future will look like. You know, I wish I had that crystal ball. I don't. I understand more fully what St. Paul was saying when he talked about now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I want face to face now, and all I have is the dim mirror. But you know, that is where faith comes in. I'm a man of faith. And I know you are a people of faith. We're on the way of Jesus. It's a pilgrim's path of profound trust. We need each other on the journey. The GPS on our iPhones won't help us. Google search for the answers will not create any results. It's us with God as our constant companion. Our vocation is to be followers of Jesus. We stand with Jesus in those tender and hard spots. We do not stand alone. We're drawn to Jesus. We're drawn to each other. The threads of our baptismal covenant and the bread of Eucharist, they bind us together. Together. Together, we can be transformed and transformative. Together, we can risk. We can dare to love. We can be fearless and go into that harvest. For that's where the work is to be done. God so loves the world, and he needs us and our love in the harvest. We're being sent. We're a people of faith. And so, let's go. God bless you.